In the last talk, we use pain, kayika dukkha vedana, unpleasant feeling from the body source, as a tool to understand the real workings behind the mental contact, passa. And let's see today, what are the remaining five sensitivities work, or five doors, five receptors? Eye door or eye sensitivity. It is where the external visual object strikes, and the eye consciousness arises. All happen at the eye door or eye sensitivity. And when that contact happens, a sense of self arises. I. As an example, I see. It's I who see. That kind of a sense of self arises when contact, passa, arises. And starting from I, beginning from this I or me, craving, wanting, aversion, dissatisfaction, all these things arises in one word, kilesa. Mental defilement arises, all based on I. To prevent these kilesa, like craving and wanting, and so on, we must observe the mental contact at the eye door when it is arising. To know form is form. To know the eye door is the eye door. To know the knowing is a eye consciousness, separately, individually. That's the reason we are observing at the moment of contact. On a practical level, at the moment, the first moment of seeing arises, you observe. When we note seeing, when you see something, you note, you observe, you're mindful, seeing. The objective of this noting seeing, or observing seeing, is to understand the seeing process. To understand the process, which means to dispel the sense of self, the concept of self. That's why we note seeing. So that's at the eye door. We have altogether six sense doors. So at the ear door, when we hear something, note hearing. At the nose door, note smelling at the tongue door, note, tasting at the body door, overall, all these sensitive part of the body, note, touching. That's where you can sense a touch sensation. And at the mind door, note as thinking. As soon as these seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking arises, one must be precisely mindful and note accordingly. In a way, you are observing the mental contact passa. Do understand the inner workings or how this passa arises. And this is Dhamma Nupassana, mindfulness of Dhamma. Do understand the relationship, the inner workings of the 18 elements. 6 external bases, 6 internal bases, rupa, and 6 types of consciousness. These 18. When you're observing the workings or relationship of these 18 elements, that is Dhamma Nupassana. And you observe that, you know that, to know the natural processes of mind and matter. In two words, mind and matter cover the 6 sense bases, 12 sense bases, 18 sense bases, everything, nama and rupa. And we are practicing mindfulness insight. When mindfulness and a strong concentration, mindfulness with strong concentration will develop vipassana inside. That's it. We practice as soon as your mindfulness gain momentum, concentration becomes strong, and automatically vipassana insight will develop by itself. This insight, okay, the way we present it is the 13 stages of insight. Some people present it as 16 stages, some people present it as 11, but regardless, whatever the number is, you will understand what vipassana insight is. So the way we present it at the third stage of insight, at the third stage of vipassana insight, one has the first peep, the first taste of this 3 common characteristics: impermanence, suffering, and non-self. But at this level, you have to apply a little bit of thinking or reflection, reflective process, together with the experience. The first time, you need a little help with the reflection, with thinking. And and the experience is not very clear or sharp. You know, you felt it, but not clearly, not sharply, a little bit vaguely, but at the same time, you know you felt. And the next level, you keep on practicing, third stage, now it's the fourth stage. These three common characteristics become pronounced, more pronounced. In which way one can see the beginning of an object and the ending of an object quite clearly and sharply. You know when it arises, you know exactly. And when it disappears, you know exactly when it ended. That's on the fourth level. Basically, your mindfulness and concentration become stronger and stronger in a simplistic way. And then the next level is, of course, if you are progressing, the fifth stage. On the fifth stage or the fifth insight, you suddenly lost the awareness of the beginning of an object. The beginning of an object disappear, and only the ending, the solution of the object remains. In other words, you only know the ending. And that knowing only the ending is the full and complete experience of impermanence, anicca, one of the three characteristics. When you are constantly seeing nothing but ending, that is the direct experience of impermanence. And of course, you keep practicing. As you keep practicing, as you keep proceeding, this ending or dissolution started to take place at a dizzying speed. And because of that, it's become everything is just disappearing so fast. One become frustrated, disinterested in the practice even, and feel repulsive of mind and matter, nama and rupa. You become frustrated with mind and matter. You become disinterested in this body and consciousness. You become repulsive. Don't even want to touch this mind and body. Some people feel like packing and going away. But persistent, you need persistent. Persistent perseverance and unyielding effort will take you over that threshold. And after you overcome that threshold, the next phase is simply the awareness of a stream of objects, a series of objects. That's all remains. In other words, the object arising, gone, one after the other, one after the other, as if it is happening automatically. These objects are arising and passing away and you are simply aware of it. Don't even have to put effort. So in other words, all that it is within the field of attention is awareness and a series of objects. And suddenly, while you're observing with progress, the objects, the series of objects, the stream of objects disappear. There's no object to observe. As there's no object to observe, the only thing left is the knowing. Only the knowing mind remains, exists. At that moment, most of us become a little bit confused. No objects to know, but knowing mind exists. Just a sense or a feeling of knowing, knows, alert, sharp, but there's nothing to know. In other words, simply knowing mind, stand alone. That kind of a perception, you will have it. And at that time, one must proceed by noting the knowing mind. Noting the knowing mind. You just say, knowing, knowing, knowing. You know that's a knowing mind. In other words, the mindful mind is observing the knowing mind. Knowing mind becomes the object, and the mindful mind is the subject. And you keep practicing. Okay. Knowing, knowing, knowing. And at one moment, the knowing mind ceased, stopped. Because knowing mind is a conditioned phenomenon. All conditioned phenomena disappear. All conditioned phenomena are impermanent. Knowing mind disappear. And once the knowing mind ceased, also the mindful mind ceased. Because mindful mind exists because there is a knowing mind to observe. As an object, without knowing mind, mindful mind do not exist. That is the cessation of mind. That is the cessation of consciousness. Now, one has experienced the total cessation of the rupa a little earlier, and now is experiencing the cessation of nama, the mind. One has reached the cessation of mind and matter. One has experienced the cessation of body and consciousness. And that experience, that state is Nibbana. The mind ceased, the body ceased, mind and matter ceased. That cessation is Nibbana. Cessation of mind and matter. But I like to put a note that one needs to be careful. There are also false cessation of mind and matter. So it is important to know what is the true cessation and what is the false cessation of mind and matter. If you believe false cessation of mind and matter is true, then you will be stuck on this road for a long time. You need a competent teacher to navigate you through that state. And once a yogi had experienced the cessation of mind and matter, at that time one can say with confidence, the yogi can say with confidence, I truly understand the Four Noble Truths. The Four Noble Truths, the key aspects of Buddhist teaching. Dukkha sissa, samudaya sissa, niroda sissa, magga sissa. The truth of suffering, the truth of the cause of suffering, the truth of the cessation of suffering, and the truth of the path leading to the cessation of suffering. These are truth. These are noble truths. And some people might present it, these noble truths, as an ultimate truth. Yeah, they have their own way to present it. But one must know, in the strictest sense, noble truth is not the ultimate truth. One should keep in mind, the Four Noble Truth is not the ultimate truth. But it can be presented as a ultimate truth. On experiencing and understanding the true nature of unpleasant feeling, we know it obviously with one word, pain. The true nature of unpleasant feeling, dukkha, suffering upon suffering. And also, when we know the true nature of unpleasant feeling, viparinama dukkha, suffering upon change, and also the true nature of the neutral feeling, sankhara dukkha, suffering upon formation. In other words, constant oppression of the impermanence on mind and matter. When you have experienced and when you have understood these, okay, you have comprehend the true nature of suffering, dukkha. That is the noble truth of suffering, dukkha sissa. And this truth must be thoroughly understood. Buddha declared, craving is the cause of suffering. That's a beautiful verse written this point, but the point is, craving is the cause of suffering. We know what suffering is. Now we need to know what is the cause. The cause is craving. So let's go a little bit. Let's expand it a little bit. However, craving arises due to feeling, vedana. Craving is tanha, feeling is vedana. Craving arises due to feeling. Independent origination. And feeling arises due to mental contact. Feeling vedana arises due to mental contact, passa. Passa picchaya vedana, vedana picchaya dana. Dependent origination. So, craving is due to feeling. Suffering is due to craving. Craving is due to feeling. Feeling is due to mental contact. So we can confidently say mental contact is also the cause of suffering. Mental contact is the cause, suffering is the effect. Just connecting the dots. Is craving is the cause of suffering, we can say mental contact is the cause of suffering as well. Now let's see how we can eliminate or destroy or stop the cycle. Craving, dana. How can we, if the craving is arising, how can you stop it? How can you dissolve it? Note, as soon as the craving arises, note, craving, craving, craving. As soon as you are acutely aware that the craving is arising, if you know, if you are aware, craving simply dissolves. It doesn't have the power to continue anymore. So, craving can be dissolved by noting craving while it is arising. Must be always at the present moment. That is how craving can be stopped when it has arisen. And at the same time, craving can be stopped from arising, because they arise. Why do they arise? Because of feeling. So craving can be stopped from arising if you can overwhelm the feeling, pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, neutral feeling. Overwhelm the feeling, meaning you note whenever the feeling arises. You know the feeling. You can overcome the pain. You can overcome the pleasant feeling. You can overcome the neutral feeling. And if you can overcome or overwhelm the feeling, craving cannot arise. We are focusing on craving because Buddha said craving is the cause of suffering. So we are finding out how we can eliminate craving. Note the craving when it is arising. Note the feeling as soon as it arises, so that it doesn't have the power to carry on as a craving. And also, craving can be prevented by noting the cause of the feeling. The cause of the feeling. What is the cause of the feeling? Vedana. Passapicya vedana. The cause of the feeling is mental contact. By noting the mental contact, you can prevent the arising of the craving as well. And why do we note the mental contact? The purpose of noting the mental contact is to break down the three components that make up the mental contact. The three components, the three elements. External base materiality, internal base materiality, or sensitivity, you can call it door, and the corresponding consciousness. Those are the three elements, three constituents. When three of these come together, mental contact, passa, arises. But if you break them down, mental contact cannot be formed. In that way, one can prevent craving to arise by breaking the union of the three. So, one can dissolve the craving, one can stop that craving, one can prevent the craving, which is the cause of suffering. You can stop, dissolve, prevent craving so that no suffering can arise. In many different ways, Buddha taught us many ways. And I'm just touching some that are quite often used. So this craving. Craving is the noble truth of the cause of the origin of suffering. Craving is the noble truth of the cause of the origin of suffering. In Pali, samudaya sasa. And this truth, this craving, must be completely abandoned. The truth of suffering must be thoroughly understood. The truth of craving must be completely abandoned. We need to do different things for different truth. Now, cessation of mind and matter. Cessation of body and consciousness. That is actually realization of Nibbana. When your mind and body, or mind and matter ceased, one is experiencing Nibbana. This Nibbana has no location. It doesn't have any four elements. It doesn't constitute of four elements, earth, wind, fire, and water. It has no sunlight. It has no moonlight. It has no starlight or any kind of light. And at the same time, it doesn't have darkness either. It is free of mind and body. It is free from pain and pleasure. And it cannot be known or defined by intellectual thinking or even imagination. However, it can be realized with the practice of the wise, the practice of the wise, the practice of the noble person, the noble eightfold path. One can realize with that. And This is the noble truth of the cessation of suffering. Noble truth of the cessation of suffering. In Pali, Nirodha Sessa. And this truth must be directly realized. No thinking, no imagination can do anything for this truth. Must be directly realized. Only the person who is practicing and attaining can realize. No other person can realize. You cannot explain that realization to any other because they have never experienced that before. That is Nirodha Sessa. Three noble truths finished, the fourth one. And we have been embarking on this, the fourth, the Noble Eightfold Path, since we started the mindfulness insight meditation, Satipatthana Vipassana meditation. As soon as we take that meditation, we have already embarked upon this Eightfold Noble Path. The key word is embark. And we began the practice with a theoretical understanding of the right view, Samadhi. I had explained that before, so you know what Samadhi is. You must take it, you must embrace it, you must keep it as the tool that you need to carry all the way along, Samadhi, and then you practice. But it's only the theoretical understanding. You don't truly understand. Intellectually you understand, theoretically you understand. You must embrace that theoretical understanding and proceed the Eightfold Path. Then it will go quite smoothly because that is the main roadblock, Samadhi. And you walk your way through with the three trainings. Morality, concentration, and wisdom. You practice hard and long. At the end of a Buddhist journey, one understood the right view, Samadhi, experientially. Only at the end of the journey, the yogi will truly understand Samadhi, right view, because through experience, experiential understanding is the true understanding. Before, it is simply theoretical understanding. You started with theoretical understanding and you ended with the experiential understanding, the correct understanding. And you have that experiential understanding because you have experienced the path consciousness, Megha-citta. When you experience the first path consciousness, that is when you truly understand the Samadhi, the right view, what Buddha is teaching us. And only then, one has completely walked the whole Eightfold Noble Path, the Noble Eightfold Path. You have finished the journey, arrived at the destination. Now you can say, Noble Eightfold Path, I know. Noble Eightfold Path becomes you. You become Noble Eightfold Path. This is the noble truth of the path leading to the cessation of suffering. The noble truth of the path leading to the cessation of suffering. In Pali, Magga Sesa. And this truth must be fully developed. The person must be fully developed. Nibbana must be directly realized. Craving must be completely abandoned. Suffering must be thoroughly understood. The Four Noble Truths. And a Buddhist has arrived at its destination, achieved its objective. May all of you be able to practice mindfulness insight meditation, and may you be able to reach the end of the journey as soon as possible. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. This is the end of the short-term retreat. Thank you very much.